Ever heard of Montessori education?
Most people probably have, yeah.
Yeah, it's surprisingly common, but there's a lot more to it than just a brand name.
Right.
Today, we are diving into the history and core principles of this approach using excerpts from the upcoming book, Montessori: The Scientific Evidence Behind the Genius.
Yeah, it's more than a school system.
Okay.
It's really an entire philosophy developed by a true pioneer in the field of education.
And that's where our story begins.
It is.
With Dr. Maria Montessori.
Exactly.
It's the early 1900s in Italy, and education looks a lot different than it does today.
Oh, yeah. Picture this: rows of children on benches,
Oh, wow.
memorizing facts with harsh discipline.
It's hard to imagine now.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Maria Montessori, who was a physician,
Okay.
she saw the limitations of this approach, you know? She was already making waves with her groundbreaking work with neurodivergent children,
Oh, wow.
even garnering international headlines for
Well,
her innovative methods.
that's incredible.
Yeah.
So from clinic to classroom,
Exactly.
her approach, rooted in observation and hands-on learning, began to take shape.
It did, and she called it scientific pedagogy.
Wow. And the key element of this pedagogy was creating what she called
The prepared
the
environment.
prepared environment. Okay,
Yes.
so a thoughtfully designed space that allows children to move freely and explore a range of carefully chosen materials.
Yeah, and she believed that in the right environment, children are naturally drawn to learning and growth.
It sounds like she was really challenging the conventional wisdom of her time.
Oh, absolutely.
So how did her ideas spread from there?
Well, they were considered radical at the time,
Yeah.
but they started gaining traction.
Okay.
She began training teachers, opening schools.
Wow.
It sparked both interest and pushback,
Oh, I'm sure.
a pattern that continues to this day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they really took off.
So what does a Montessori classroom actually look like?
It's probably different from what you might imagine.
Okay, I'm ready. Give us the inside scoop.
Okay, imagine a classroom bathed in natural light,
Okay.
where children are free to move and work collaboratively.
Wow.
You won't see rows of desks.
Really?
Instead, you'll find carefully designed learning areas stocked with intriguing materials.
Oh, wow. It sounds so different from the traditional model of sitting still and listening to a teacher lecture.
It's a very different approach.
Yeah.
Montessori believed in fostering independence and a love of learning.
Okay.
One of the most fascinating aspects of her approach is this concept of structured freedom.
Structured freedom. That sounds almost like an oxymoron.
Yeah.
So how does that work in practice?
It's about striking a balance.
Okay.
Children have the autonomy to choose their own work, but within a framework of available materials and lessons,
Oh.
each designed to target specific skills. They're
Yeah.
guided by their interests and encouraged to work at their own pace.
So it's not just kids running wild, do whatever they want.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Montessori teachers play a crucial role in guiding this process. They observe each child, introducing them to new materials
Wow.
and ensuring they're challenged and engaged.
Okay.
And here's something else that might surprise you.
Okay.
There are no grades or rewards in
Really?
a traditional sense.
Wow, that goes against everything most of us experienced in school.
It does.
How do children stay motivated without that external pressure?
Well, Montessori believed that the learning process itself is inherently rewarding.
Okay.
Children are driven by their natural curiosity and the satisfaction of mastering new skills.
That's a very different perspective.
It is.
But I imagine some people might worry that this approach lacks structure.
Yeah, that's a common concern.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely delve into the research on its effectiveness in a bit.
Okay.
But first, I think it's important to understand the underlying philosophy
No.
that guides this structured freedom.
Okay.
Montessori identified four pillars of respect that form the foundation of her approach.
Four pillars of respect.
Yes.
I'm intrigued. Tell us more.
It begins with respect for the child as an individual, acknowledging their unique needs and capabilities.
Okay.
And this respect extends outward to encompass all humans, recognizing the interconnectedness of our shared humanity.
Sounds like a very holistic approach to education going beyond just academics.
It is very much so. And the third pillar is respect for all forms of life,
Okay.
instilling a sense of responsibility for the natural world. And finally, there's an appreciation for the interconnectedness of everything,
Okay.
understanding that our actions have ripple effects on the world around us.
It's a beautiful philosophy, but I'm curious, how does this translate into the classroom?
Well,
You mentioned students work at their own pace. Does that mean they're always on their own?
Well, this is where another unique aspect of Montessori comes in.
Okay.
Mixed age groupings.
A mixed age grouping.
Yeah, you'll find children of different ages learning together in the same classroom.
That's so interesting. What's the thinking behind that?
It fosters peer-to-peer learning, and it creates a strong sense of community. Older children often mentor younger ones.
Whoa, wow.
Reinforcing their own understanding in the process.
Okay.
And younger children are inspired and challenged by their older peers.
It sounds like a very dynamic and supportive learning environment, but I have to ask about those long stretches of uninterrupted work time.
Yeah.
I imagine it takes a lot of focus for a child to stay engaged for that long.
You're right. Concentration is a skill that's cultivated in Montessori classrooms.
Okay.
Long, uninterrupted work cycles, typically lasting 2 to 3 hours.
Wow. That's a long time.
Allow children to become deeply engrossed in their chosen activities. Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed how challenging it is to maintain focus in today's world?
Oh, absolutely.
With constant distractions.
Seems like our attention spans are shrinking by the minute.
Yeah.
So how does the Montessori approach help children develop this crucial skill?
The prepared environment plays a key role.
Okay.
Providing a calm and inviting space free from unnecessary distractions.
Okay.
The work cycles themselves are designed to be engaging and absorbing.
So we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
But I think the big question remains.
Right.
Does Montessori actually work?
Right.
Does it prepare children for the real world?
I think that's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And the research is ongoing, but right. There is a growing body of evidence that suggests that, yes, it can have a lasting positive impact.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
But like you said, the research is ongoing.
It is.
It's not always, a clear-cut answer.
Right.
What are some of the challenges in studying the effectiveness of Montessori?
Well, one of the biggest hurdles is consistency.
Okay.
You know, not all schools that call themselves Montessori adhere to the same standards.
Right.
There can be variation in teacher training, the quality of the materials, and just the fidelity to Montessori principles.
So how do we know if a study is really looking at, like, true Montessori?
That's where accreditation comes in.
Yeah.
You know, organizations like the Association Montessori Internists, or AMI, and the American Montessori Society, AMS, they have rigorous standards for Montessori schools.
Okay.
And so studies that focus on accredited schools are going to give us a more accurate picture.
That makes sense. So it's like comparing apples to apples.
Exactly.
So what are some common concerns that people have about Montessori?
Okay.
And what does the research say about them?
Well, one concern is whether Montessori prepares children for the structure of traditional schooling.
Right. It's a valid question.
It is. And studies have actually shown that Montessori alumni often transition smoothly and thrive in later academic settings.
Wow. So they don't struggle to adapt.
Not at all. In fact, research has shown that Montessori alumni tend to report higher levels of school satisfaction than their peers, even after they've moved on to traditional schools.
Wow.
And one study even found that they're 30% more likely to pursue self-directed learning projects in college.
That's huge.
Which I think is a real testament to their love of learning for learning's sake.
Yeah, it seems like that focus on intrinsic motivation really pays off.
It really does.
In the long run.
Yeah.
But what about play?
Okay.
Does the structured nature of Montessori come at the expense of free play and imagination?
Yeah, and that's a question that often comes up.
Yeah.
You know, Montessori, she observed that children are naturally drawn to engaging with reality.
Okay.
To mastering practical skills.
Okay.
I remember observing a classroom where there was a four-year-old who was so engrossed in learning how to carefully pour water from a pitcher.
Wow.
That he spent the entire work cycle on that one activity.
Wow.
Completely content.
That's it sounds like the materials themselves have like a certain magic to them.
They do.
But is there room for pretend play?
Yeah.
For, you know, those flights of fancy that are so crucial to childhood development.
Yeah. And I think that's where the teacher's role is so important. Observing each child, understanding their needs, and guiding them towards activities that nurture their individual development.
Okay.
So some Montessori classrooms might incorporate more traditional play areas, while others might weave imaginative play into the practical life activities.
So it's about finding that balance.
Exactly.
Okay, now what about the lack of grades?
Right.
How do students transition to a system that relies so heavily on...
Right, on traditional assessments.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Montessori schools prioritize individualized progress tracking over traditional grids.
Okay.
So teachers provide detailed feedback to parents and students through narratives, mm-hmm. conferences, portfolios of work.
Okay.
But when the time comes to transition to a traditional system,
right.
Montessori schools are equipped to provide transcripts.
Okay.
Or to help students prepare for standardized tests.
So they're not completely detached from the quote-unquote real world
right.
of grades and assessments?
It's about adapting to the needs of the student and the context.
This has been incredibly insightful. But I have to, you know, kind of address the elephant in the room.
Sure.
Montessori education often comes with a hefty price tag.
It does.
How can we make this approach accessible to everyone and not just
right.
those who can afford it?
Yeah, you're right. The cost can be prohibitive for many families. And that's why I think it's crucial to advocate for increased funding
yeah.
for early childhood education across the board
right.
to explore public Montessori options
right.
and to support initiatives that are really working to bridge this accessibility gap.
Yeah, it sounds like we need a systemic shift in how we
you do.
Value and fund education.
Absolutely. Investing in early childhood education, regardless of the specific approach.
Yeah.
is investing in the future.
This has been a really eye-opening deep dive.
It has.
Into the world of Montessori. What's the key takeaway okay. you hope our listeners walk away with today?
Well, whether or not you choose Montessori for your own family, I think it's valuable to understand its core principles and the research that supports its effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these insights can spark some really important conversations
yeah.
about what we want education to look like.
Absolutely.
Not just for our children,
right.
but for generations to come.
Beautifully said. Imagine a world where children are excited to learn.
Right.
Where their curiosity is nurtured and their love of learning is ignited.
I love it.
That's a world worth striving for.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.